morning we have a subject that I think we all can sort of identify with. I don't know that there's anyone, and I guess I'm your pastor, I sort of know those sufferings as I look across the congregation. I know what you bring as we talk about the subject of suffering, and specifically Job, because that's usually who we think of when we think about suffering. And so I am going to pray my message in a different way. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, each and every one of us may bring our own suffering with us into this room. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that through your word, by your Holy Spirit, you might minister to us at the spots we're suffering. That as we emerge from this service this morning, we can approach our lives in new ways, offering our worship every step of every day as we walk with you. So this is your time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been sort of an interesting study, because as we look at the scriptures that we've walked through just those thus far, as we spent two Sundays celebrating God's good world, His creation, and then acknowledging that in our basic, we're good. God created us good. He created us good. He created us good. Did I get enough emphasis on that? Because He did. He created us good. But we also have this nature within us that's sort of reactive to the outside, if you will, and we have the ability to sin. And what we noticed in these passages is that there's already been quite a bit of talk of suffering. Because as we think of Adam, because of his sin, he suffered and was moved, removed from the garden, right? I didn't think that was, you know, probably a picnic for him. So let's call it suffering. And as we move on and think about Cain and Abel, and that situation where shame and jealousy became so intense that Cain murdered Abel, we see that Cain suffered again. He suffered because he murdered, because of his shame. And as we heard Shelby talk about the flood, we realize that God has that privilege, if you will, to bestow His judgment when the violence has gotten to such an extent that it needs that. And so those people who died probably suffered. We've already visited that. And we last Sunday talked about the Tower of Babel and how when people were so proud that they came up against God and said, well, let's make it really high, God would separate them, and they had that pain of separation because of that. So we've already talked about the suffering that's part of making bad decisions compared to what God wants us to be doing, the suffering that we might get because of judgment, let's say. And in the Bible, if we look at Hebrews chapter 12, 10 through 11, we know that God has the ability, and I sort of welcome this. I welcome God disciplining me. It says, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. Anybody's daddy whip them? Give them a little spanking? Oh, not up here in the front. Okay. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so, I don't know whether you're at that point in your discipleship that you welcome God's discipline when you have stepped out of His boundaries and His will. But I welcome God's discipline. Because I found out that my earthly father's discipline helped formulate my life in such a way that I can live, well, fairly peaceful with others. I play better than I would have if I hadn't had daddy. And you know what? I think God loves us to the point that he will exercise his discipline in our lives. And I welcome that. Because I'd rather have daddy do it then get in trouble later on. That's part of my relationship with the Father. I hope it's part of your relationship too, and that you welcome our Heavenly Daddy, his discipline in our lives. This morning, however, we aren't talking about those two kinds of suffering. When we enter into the life of Job, we're entering into a life, a story about a man who did everything right. Did everything according to Hoyle. He was acknowledged as good by Almighty God. And I don't know about you, but at times I struggle with the privilege God has of testing the depth and the width of our relationship with him and our faith in him. I mean, think about it. That's what happened with Job. In the midst of this test, as they were in that divine council, and I don't know if you're interested in more study on those kinds of things, but if you're thinking about that divine council that appears here in Job chapter 1 and 2, you may want to explore Unseen Realm, which is a book written by Michael Heiser. It's probably the most scholarly work I've heard of in the Old Testament language about what's going on here. Unseen Realm, Michael Heiser. But in this divine council, when God acknowledges, well, have you considered my servant Job? He does that to the devil, I mean Satan. And Satan says, well, yeah, but if you just take everything away from him, it's not like you haven't blessed him, Lord. And so God gives him permission. He says, okay, Satan, O accuser, if you think I've blessed him and that's the only reason he's obedient, that's a paraphrase, you won't find that in Scripture, but if you think he's only obedient because I've blessed him, take it all away. Take it all away. Only don't touch his body. Only don't touch his body. And so Satan waltzes to earth. And he takes everything away, his house, his kids, his sheep, praise the Lord, his camels. He just wipes him out. And it says in Scripture, in chapter 1, the last verse of that chapter, it says, and he did not sin by speaking against God. Everything wiped out. And he says, hey, naked I came, naked I'm going. And that's Job's attitude in the midst of having everything taken away. Is that our attitude? I mean, when we have a bad day or when it rains on our harvest, anybody having those feelings like, okay, Lord, really? I didn't get an amen. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. So the second test is just like it. So God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Look at this dude. You took everything away from him. He's still not mad at me. And Satan says, okay, but you know what? People will give up absolutely everything for their health. Let me touch his body. And God says, well, okay, I'll let you do that, but you cannot take him to death. And Satan does it. And Job's agony is so deep that even his wife says, oh boy, dude, why don't you just curse God and die? And still, at the end of that, it says, Job did not sin. suffering is a test, if you will. And often a test of how deep and how broad. How deep is our faith? How broad is our relationship with the Almighty? Are we able, in the midst of the depth of our suffering, to do like Job did and say, praise the Lord. Hey, naked I came, naked I'll go. This is part of what God's plan is for my life. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you endure trials of many kinds. Anybody like that? The trials of many kinds bit? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance, when it has finished its work, leaves you mature. Anybody want to grow up? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think this is often a biblical concept of suffering that we sort of glaze over. We sort of live our lives in an if-then situation. Telling ourselves that, well, if I am good enough, God will bless me. If I do things right, then God will bless me. And you know, really the only test of God that exists in Holy Scripture, and test me in this, you can test me in this, is in Malachi chapter 3. That's the only place in Scripture I see a test of God. And anybody remember what that's about? Tithing. It's about tithing. Test me in this. That's the only place that we can test God. So this suffering and walking with God is as old as Job. Testing that depth of relationship, that depth of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We don't see the future, do we? Praise the Lord. I mean, really, praise the Lord, we don't know what's coming next. But my prayer has always been that, Lord, light up the next step so I know where you want me to go. That's Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. How do we do this? This worshiping God in the midst of suffering, in the midst of what's tearing us apart. And I find that I've seen God bring light in the darkest moments when I keep my eyes on Him. We went through that when Michael died. God had already put in place what was there for my healing. That getting ready to teach a Sunday school class on the book of James. God had already orchestrated that in June. Michael didn't pass away till the 30th of August. God had orchestrated my healing in advance of my suffering. He had put in place that which would deliver me out of the depths of the depression before the suffering had ever happened. And I praise the Lord that in the midst of the suffering, He had a way out. And maybe you have stories like that as well. God is walking with us, even here and now. And the neat thing is, God has given us something that Job didn't have. In Job chapter 9, he shouts out and wants a mediator. Bring a mediator around that can talk between me and God, because God's way too big for me to talk to. And I need someone who will hear my case and stand with me. And that passage in 1 Timothy talks about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, being our mediator. We have a mediator in Jesus who walks with us each and every day. and who authored on the cross our salvation. So I don't know how you feel this morning. A little gloom and doom's coming in from outside. I don't know how you're feeling in your suffering this morning. I don't know where you're at in your suffering. Maybe it's maybe you have gas from your breakfast. Maybe you didn't the coffee didn't set well with you. Maybe somebody had a catastrophe at the table this morning during breakfast and you had to help clean it up. Maybe you're dealing with your health. And you ache and you hurt this morning. Maybe you're having trouble with your thoughts. And the pain and suffering actually doesn't show to anybody else but you. I want you to know that the man who we celebrate, the God we celebrate this morning in communion, will walk with you every step that you walk through your suffering. Praise the Lord. Our suffering then becomes a test of our faith, if we will. And the product that comes out of that is our follow-through. Now, I am not a golfer. This is my only golf analogy, Steve. And you can test me on this. But that one of the most important pieces of a golf swing is the follow-through. Right? Thank you for the grace anyway. You give me at least you're helping me out that way. But if we swung and tried to just hit the ball, it wouldn't follow through. It affects how we swing. It affects where things go. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, your suffering does not end what God is going to do in your life. But if you are suffering this morning, God's got a ministry that's part of you now. Because you've been there, and you've done that, and you've seen it through. So I would like to encourage you to use your suffering to be one of those points that you reach out to others in ministry. I don't know. He may be equipping the entire congregation this very week for something that we could do in our community because we've been through that kind of suffering, that kind of situation. As we take communion this morning, let us take that bread and remember the one who loves us so much, he would physically come to earth and allow his body to be broken to release us. Remembering the one who would spill his own blood and allow it to be spilled on our behalf. And remember that as we walk, this life collects on us. And we can come together and wash each other's feet and help each other out. I would like to have the group coming, the elders and those who are serving this morning, come forward at this time.